Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. The topic I'll be discussing today is interpersonal attraction. What draws us to other people? We are naturally attracted to certain people and repelled by others for reasons that are not often clear to us. Have you ever experienced instantly liking someone you have just met or feeling like you have known them forever? Conversely, are there people you meet that, for whatever reason, you immediately dislike or want to get away from? In some of my other shows, I have offered some spiritual explanations for what attracts us to others. Perhaps we respond to people the way we do because we have known them in a previous life and perceive them as familiar. Maybe we are responding to a vibe we get, good or bad, from their human energy field or aura. It is always possible that our sixth sense or intuition is picking up on something. In this show, I'll take a different approach. I'll discuss relationship attraction from the perspectives of science, psychology, and sociology. Interpersonal attraction, the evaluation we make of other people, has always been a major area of study. Researchers have done countless studies to examine how and why human beings form impressions of each other and why we are not attracted to everyone we come into contact with. In our world of digital media, first impressions are often made long before we physically meet people. What we look and sound like is becoming more and more important to the assessments strangers initially make of us. There are many theories about why we like some people and don't like others. The interpersonal attraction judgment scale is frequently used to measure human social attraction. Using this scale, subjects rate a target person on personality aspects such as intelligence, likability, morality, and desirability as a work partner. The impressions a subject has to their targets may range from extreme attraction to extreme repulsion. Our attraction to other people does not exist exclusively in romantic relationships. There are other types of relationships, such as friends and family, and places of interaction where relationships form, such as work, neighborhoods, houses of worship, and clubs. The most frequently studied factors that influence interpersonal attractions are physical attractiveness, liking others who physically appeal to us. Proximity, liking others who are physically close to us. Similarity, liking others who are similar to us. Familiarity, liking others who we are frequently exposed to. Reciprocal liking, liking others who like us. Social reward, liking others who benefit us or boost our ego. And reinforcement, liking others because others like them. Not everyone places equal emphasis on looks. Those who are perceived as smart, interesting, confident, likable, and kind-hearted are predictably more desirable than those who are perceived as negative, insensitive, boring, combative, unreliable, and unstable. But physical appearance seems to be the first thing that attracts us to others. Studies show that a substantial amount of people show preferences to those who are attractive. Physically attractive people are most often perceived as being sensitive, kind, successful, secure, exciting, and warm. And according to studies, beautiful people more easily advance in social status and are viewed as being more competent and trustworthy. In one experiment, simulated jurors were asked to evaluate a defendant as guilty or not guilty. The more attractive defendants were more positively evaluated than defendants who were less attractive. And the jurors were less certain of the guilt of the more attractive defendants than they were of those who were less attractive. In all studies involving aesthetics, whether artistically or relating to personal appearance, symmetry has proved to be comforting to the human eye. Humans are naturally attracted, to that which appears uniform and uncomplicated. Symmetrical faces are considered attractive to both men and women, as are symmetrical and well-proportioned bodies. Facial features such as big smiles, prominent cheekbones, and large eyes are characteristics that are also considered appealing. Cross-culturally, youthful-looking women with small noses, full lips, and large eyes are perceived as attractive. But when assessing beauty, everyone has their own personal compass. The specifics of what makes someone beautiful also differ among cultures. In America, the land of abundance, trim women are seen as more desirable. In cultures where food is scarce, women who are heavier are considered more attractive. In some Southeast Asian cultures that have been ravaged by war and are lacking in food, a full-figured woman is perceived as being higher in social status. In Nigeria, where fertility and reproduction is a priority, having a full figure demonstrates that a woman is fertile and able to birth many babies. Beauty perception also changes with the times. Americans with tanned skin are seen as healthy and attractive. But back in the Victorian days, tanned skin indicated that a person worked outside under the sun and were therefore considered lower class. When pursuing relationships, whether for friendship or romantic purposes, men prefer attractiveness and youthfulness to personality. It is their attraction to physical appearance that piques their interest long enough for them to want to know more about the other person. And studies show that women with higher-pitched voices are perceived by men as being more feminine and attractive. This goes against the common stereotype in our culture that husky, breathy, lower-pitched voices are more appealing to the opposite sex. Though we are mostly unaware, we are naturally drawn to those who seem familiar to us in some way or remind us of someone we care about. Familiarity plays a huge role in interpersonal attraction. Studies have shown that after participants are repeatedly shown pictures of a variety of faces, they rate the faces they see more frequently as being more attractive. Another study, in which participants were repeatedly exposed to a variety of faces, showed that they perceived the most familiar faces as being similar to their own. Interaction increases familiarity. The exposure effect, also known as the familiarity principle, specifies that the more frequently a person has contact with a stimulus, whether objects or people, the more the person will like it. This principle holds true regardless of whether that stimulus is negative, neutral, or positive. The physical proximity that exists between two people has been found to be a major factor in interpersonal attraction. The less physical distance there is between two people, the more likely it is that they will repeatedly run into each other. And the more they interact with each other, the more probable it is that they will become attracted to each other as friends or partners. This often happens with people you see regularly, like neighbors, coworkers, classmates, or those you see in exercise class or at the gym. It is often said that opposites attract, but there are two very different schools of thought. Some studies suggest that we are drawn towards those who have strengths we are lacking. A number of studies suggest that it is similarity that leads to attraction. I'll offer both points of view. The opposites attract theory seems to only hold true when it comes to romantic relationships. We tend to perceive individuals who are different from ourselves as exciting. In 1955, Robert Winch, a longtime sociology professor at Northwestern University, proposed the theory of complementary needs in mate selection. Dr. Winch theorized that both parties in a love relationship are likely to have complementary needs. According to his theory, a quiet, shy person will be attracted to an outgoing, talkative person. Other research shows that extroverts are attracted to introverts. Dominant people tend to choose more submissive partners, and those who are uptight and headstrong feel balanced out by someone level-headed and serene. Some theorize that our romantic attraction to those who are opposite is a subconscious quest to round out the nature of our personalities. The theory maintains that since the personality differences create many issues that must be worked out, we are compelled to face the areas in life that are most difficult for us. Therefore, we are driven towards becoming a more complete person. Other types of relationships, such as colleagues at work, friendships, or religious fellowship, are easily formed with those who share our point of view, level of motivation, and our attitudes. Studies have shown that the more similarities in attitude we feel with someone, the more attracted we are to them. Since attitudes are often predictors of how a person will act in the future, when they have a similar one to our own, we anticipate rewarding future encounters. Lack of attitude, similarity, causes us to anticipate frustration. Differences in attitudes and interests may also cause us to avoid and dislike them. It is typical for optimistic people to want to associate with other optimistic people. Negative people feel more comfortable with other negative people. We are about halfway through, so I'm going to take a brief one-minute intermission. I will return after the music interlude, so stay tuned. I'll be right back. today's discussion, interpersonal attraction. What draws us to other people? Countless studies show that people are commonly attracted to faces they perceive as similar to their own, or faces of those who are at the same level of attractiveness. It is theorized that we are drawn to people who mirror our ideal self. We are also likely to be attracted, either on a conscious or subconscious level, to those who have characteristics that are similar to our mother or our family members. This is particularly true with those who have grown up with a difficult or abusive parent. Adult children who were raised with an alcoholic parent are more likely to be attracted to an alcoholic partner. Those who were physically abused as children are more likely to be attracted to a partner that will also abuse them. Another aspect of our ideal self that we may mirror through our attraction to others is our personality. A great deal of research relating personality similarity to human attraction has been done, but most of it has been focused on the theory of narcissism. The theory of narcissism hypothesizes that we are drawn to those who share similar personality characteristics because as humans, we have strong narcissistic tendencies. I have found no evidence that this theory applies to the average person. We are all attracted to those who think the way we do, who share our common interests, values, and philosophies. We feel comfortable with these people because they get us. Those whose focuses are similar to ours are easiest to form bonds with because we share a common base to build upon. Those who share similar economic statuses are likely to be attracted to each other for all the same reasons. We also tend to favor people whose level of competence is similar to ours in areas like education, intelligence, athletic ability, and social skills. Those that demonstrate more competency than we do in one or more of those areas tend to make us feel inferior. Therefore, we find it uncomfortable to be around them. Charismatic individuals seem to hold the key to attraction. What is personal charisma and why are we drawn to it? Personal charisma is a quality of character possessed by an individual that attracts and impresses others. We tend to listen to and respect charismatic people because they are effective communicators and highly influential. There are three elements that contribute to personal charisma: emotional expressiveness, emotional sensitivity, and emotional control. Emotional expressiveness is the ability charismatic people have to convey their feelings spontaneously and authentically in ways that emotionally move others. These people know how to work a room and engage everyone in it. They are verbally fluent and articulate, which makes them highly effective public speakers, powerful leaders, and very entertaining. Emotional sensitivity is the ability charismatic people have to tune into the emotions of others and pick up on their nonverbal cues. This is how the charismatic individual emotionally connects with people and appropriately responds to their feelings. Bill Clinton's entire political career was based on empathetic comments like, "I feel your pain." Whether or not he meant it didn't matter. People believed him. Emotional control is the ability charismatic people have to regulate and control their emotions. They are emotional actors with sophisticated sophisticated role-playing skills. With this ability, they can turn on the charm whenever the situation calls for it. With their ability to mask how they truly feel, they can convey any emotion that will benefit them in whatever way they want it to. They carry an air of confidence that allows them to fit in with whomever they are with, often for the benefit of making social connections. Whether we are aware of it or not, we all have a criteria list of what we like in a person and what makes it comfortable for us to be around them. Criteria matches commonly include our views on hot-button issues like politics, religion, or abortion. Our tendency is to be attracted to those who fulfill a percentage of these preconceived qualifications. The nature of our criteria depends on the type of relationship that is attracting us. The criteria we have for a friend may be different than the criteria we have for a romantic partner. Research shows that we often choose mates with faces that resemble our own, and there is a strong tendency for us to choose partners that have the same level of attractiveness as we do. The facial resemblance and level of attractiveness are based on the perception we have of ourselves. We are naturally drawn to love interests who have similar attitudes to our own. The stronger the attitude similarity, the stronger the attraction. We are also attracted to partners who are like us in their emotional stability, agreeability, level of education, adventure seeking, attitude, social skills, and level of responsibility. Religious backgrounds, socioeconomic status, and political views that are similar to ours are high on the love attraction priority list, too. The more similar the values of a couple are, the stronger their commitment tends to be and the longer their relationship tends to last. Another factor in interpersonal relationship attraction is mutual attraction, also known as the reciprocity of liking role. This rule applies to all types of relationships, not just romantic ones. Data shows evidence of our tendency to believe that if we like someone, they will like us back. A wide variety of psychological studies support this premise. Furthermore, research shows that when we find someone very attractive, we tend to overestimate how attractive the other person finds us. The reciprocity of liking rule only seems to apply to first impressions. If the mutual attraction is not reinforced with stronger similarities, the attraction will shortly dissipate. According to the reinforcement theory, we are more likely to repeat behaviors that we are rewarded for or benefited by in some way. Under this theory, we will be attracted to others who make us feel good about ourselves. We like people who praise and validate us. We like people who don't mind doing us favors. And we like those who provide us with rewards that cost us little or nothing, as long as the reinforcements are honest. If we suspect that the praise is phony or baseless, we will not want that person to be around us. That exception seems to be in direct controversy to the premise of the book that made Dale Carnegie so famous, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Carnegie's book, published in 1936, was one of the first best-selling self-help books ever published. It is based on the general reward theory of interpersonal attraction, also known as the Minimax principle. He advised that if we want someone to like us, we should pretend to show interest in the things they are interested in. We should be pleasant, agreeable, and dole our praise lavishly. Dole out our praise lavishly. A reward that people seem to respond to well is social approval. We tend to like people who validate our views. Advertisers often target our need for social approval to sell the products to us. Soft drink commercials try to convince us that if we buy their product, we'll make more friends and be more appealing to others. Commercials for deodorant, toothpaste, and mouthwash appeal to us the opposite way. They try to convince us that by using their product, we will avoid the embarrassment of offending others. A different approach to understanding human interpersonal attraction can be found in evolutionary theories that relate attraction to fertility and the preservation of the human race. One theory suggests that when a person's physical features indicate they are fertile, the opposite sex will be attracted to them. The thought process follows that when people choose partners who are fertile, they increase the odds of passing their genes on. The flaw in this theory is that it does not explain the attraction between those of the same sex or those who do not want children. Another evolutionary theory suggests that fertility in a mate is the primary focus that attracts men to women, but it's not what primarily attracts women to men. Women are more concerned with protecting their future offspring. Therefore, they are attracted to men that will provide for and protect them. A recent study showed that women are most attracted to men whose histocompatibility complex, a collection of genes that are related to the immune system, is different than theirs. The theory is that women unconsciously choose to mate with men that have different immune systems than theirs to ensure the survival of their offspring. Modern-day researchers have been studying airborne chemicals called pheromones to learn how they influence human sexual attraction. These chemicals, known to be secreted by animals, trigger a social response or behavior in members of the same species. The scientific community is still debating whether or not pheromones exist in humans or contribute to their attraction to each other. Humanities scientists have spent decades evaluating every intricate aspect of human appearance, human nature, human needs, and human survival, trying to unfold the secrets of what attracts people to each other. As much as they have learned, there is so much more they do not know. Interpersonal attraction is largely a subjective perception dependent on the collaboration of innumerable factors. Since it is a topic of great curiosity, there will always be theories. But the spiritual beings in physical bodies that we are, it seems unlikely that there will ever be a definitive answer to explain what attracts us to each other. We're out of time, but please feel free to contact me with any comments and questions you may have by emailing me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Remember, Randy is spelled R-A-N-D-I. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, January 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as I discuss the topic, the power of touch. All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.